For our scripture reading tonight, I'd like to go to Colossians chapter 3. It's a strong parallel passage to the text in Ephesians 4 that we're going to be in tonight. Colossians chapter 3 is page 1180 in the Pew Bibles. Once again, Colossians chapter 3, and I'll begin reading in verse 1. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, to God the Father. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Would you join me in prayer? Our gracious Lord, thank you so much for this evening. We thank you for this time when we can gather and worship you and adore you. I pray that tonight our hearts would be attuned to your word. I pray that we would seek out those ways that maybe we haven't put it fully into practice yet. And I just ask that you would help us to discover those things that we might draw ever closer to you. Thank you for the challenges we find here. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, my understanding is that slavery in the United States was up until 1865 or even later than that, was bitter and cruel. Slaves were expected to work from sunup to sundown, much like the free workers, but for no pay. They received meager food portions and were beaten mercilessly for disobedience. Lincoln never really intended to free the slaves when he became president, but midway through his term, with tremendous political pressure to do something about slavery and a desire to keep Great Britain out of the war, he knew he had to act, but he didn't want to look desperate. Finally, the North won a major battle, and Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation. Though the slaves legally were free, the war still had to be fought. Even after the war, most slaves were still on the plantations as though nothing had happened. This still continued even after the signing of the 13th Amendment outlawing slavery. The slaves were slaves at that point because they chose to remain slaves out of fear and because they didn't know any better. I think there's a lesson for us in that. How often do we as believers continue on in what the Lord would consider a grievous sin because we either don't know about it because we're ignorant, or maybe we don't want to change? Tonight we're going to be challenged about this way of thinking. I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verse 17 through 24. In particular, tonight I'm going to be looking at verse 20, but last time we started at verse 17, so I just want to pick up there and review a little bit to get the context. So Ephesians chapter 4, we're at verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him, and have been taught in him just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Important section, because Paul is now, after this, going to be laying out example after example after example of how we are to do this in the verses that follow. So this is an important text to think about and to consider tonight. Tonight I want to look at three steps you must take as you seek to walk the worthy walk. Three steps you must take as you seek to walk the worthy walk. The first one is simply, you need to put off the old man. Put off the old man. Just want to consider, and a lot of this is review from last time, but the inconsistency of the Gentile walk, we looked at that in verses 17 through 19 last week. There Paul challenged us to stop living like unbelievers. Their thinking is futile. They don't understand. They're excluded from the life of God. They become callous. Remember we talked about what it's like to have a callous heart where you're impervious and it just, nothing sinks in. It just, you just, I don't see anything wrong with it. They've given themselves over to pursue all forms of impurity with greed. We left the last time with the question, why would anyone want to live like that? Why would any believer want to live like that? So here in verse 20, Paul points out the extreme opposite truth that is in Christ. You did not learn Christ in this way. You did not learn Christ in this way. Learn has the idea of coming to know, to be a follower, a disciple. And I can't help asking the question in a term like this, isn't it so much more than just, I know the facts about Jesus? I know, I've read the Bible many times. I know the facts about him. I think what's the idea here is, have you come to know him? Have you learned him in his way and how he wants us to put off the old man, be renewed in the mind and put on the new man? Do you understand him and walk with him? And I think that's a good question to ask. When you became a disciple, you became a learner of Christ, but that's a learner of him and his ways. Everything you know about Christ, his holiness, his hatred for sin, his desire to please the Father, all point you away from the futility of the unbeliever's thinking and the way that you were before you came to Christ. If indeed you have come to the place where you're saved, you have at some time in the past heard Him and have been taught by Him and come to know Him. Him. I don't want to please what I know having just the knowledge of Jesus. I want to please Him. Sometime in the past you heard His voice and He taught you. He taught you to turn from sin and to embrace His way. Four times in the Gospels, Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing now, if anyone would come after me, he must take up his cross and follow me. That's four times. It's in one Gospel twice and in two other Gospels. I think the only Gospel that doesn't say it is John. This made a big impression on me early on, and I liked Wiest Word Studies. He's got a whole four-volume set of studies that he did in the Greek New Testament. And I like how he translated this. This is not meant to be a good English translation, but he's trying to bring out all the nuances of the original as much as he can. And this is Mark's text. I'll read it for you first in New American Standard, and then I'll read Wiest's translation. He summoned the multitude with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Listen to how Wiest translated that. Having called a crowd together with his disciples to himself, he said to them, "If, as is the case, anyone is desiring to come after me as a follower of mine, let him at once begin to lose sight of himself and his own interests. And let him at once begin to take up his cross and let him start taking the same road in company with me," in other words, to do my interest and my desires, "and let him continue to do so moment by moment." It made a big impression on me early on. Losing sight of my will and my desires, and instead pursuing Jesus' will and Jesus' desires, what He wants. So I think we can show very clearly that that's what Jesus taught in the Gospels. There's that theme is it does come through. So what have you been taught? See verse 21, "If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him just as truth is in Jesus," well, now what's Paul going to say? What is Paul adding to that? Verse 22, "that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." Now, I think that is a kind of a practical definition of the Christian life. Practical way of how do we follow Jesus. And then he's going to flesh that out for us beginning in verse 25, and we're going to be in that for several weeks. Three things then: lay aside the old self, be renewed in the mind, and put on the new self. So let's dig into this. Lay aside the old self. It's being corrupted. You see that? In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted. Did you ever think about that? It's still being corrupted right now. I don't think most of us think of it that way. Your flesh is still on its way. It's still in the process of being corrupted. It's being ruined. It's being led astray. The word can even mean seduced. According to deceitful lusts. Our flesh is being corrupted according to deceitful lusts. The lusts of our flesh are deceitful. What's the principal characteristic of being deceived? You're believing something that's not true. Making someone believe something as true that's really false. That would be deceit. like trying to persuade a fish that he's wet. Mr. Fish, you are wet. So what's the problem? He says, that is my nature. That is the way I am. There's nothing wrong with it. You go to an unbeliever and tell him he's a sinner, and he says, so what's the problem? This is my nature. This is the way I am, and there's nothing wrong with it. We go to believers, and I've heard other pastors say this, and I think it's a good point. We turn to Christ. We're saved, we're born again, and then we raise up to the level of spirituality of those around us. And then we think, I'm doing pretty good. I'm not too bad. I'm just like everybody else here. We fail to see that the standard is Jesus. We need to keep on. We need to keep refining, keep growing, keep maturing, keep turning to Christ, keep refining our thoughts. What's the goal? The goal. Paul tells it in Corinthians. I forgot to look it up. I was going to include that. The goal is to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So we're not there until every thought is brought into the Lord, under the Lordship of Christ. I don't know about you, but I got a long way to go. I've got a lot of thoughts. The lusts of the flesh are deceiving. They promise one thing and deliver another. My dad used to tell a story about my Uncle Shorty. Great big tall guy. I guess that's why they called him Shorty. But he was in the store and looking for a sport coat. And the salesman was grabbing the back of the coat, you know, and bunching it up, you know, so it would fit better in the front and everything. And really pulling all kinds of tricks. And he walked away, left the room, and my dad said to him, Shorty, that guy's, he's deceiving you. He's trying to rob you blind. This is just not right. Oh, I know he is. He's doing it in such a nice way, I don't mind. That was how my uncle was. We don't want to be deceived. The only way we're going to see the remaining lusts of our flesh and how they have us captive is by looking for it in the Word of God. Studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, and letting it wash our minds clean and show us those ways that are still left, that are still contaminating us, the lusts of the flesh that are still there. To be deceived usually means we don't know. We believe a lie. We don't realize it. That's the nature of the old man. And Paul says to us as believers, put it off. Lay aside the old corrupted man. There's serious implications of what he's saying here. First of all, make no mistake, it can be done. Sometimes we say, this is the way I am. I'm like the fish that's wet. You know, this is the way I am. This is the way it's supposed to be. No. No. Well, you can not only can do it, but you must do it. Remember what, and we're coming to this in Romans chapter 6 soon, and probably just a few weeks. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is all part of putting off the old man. Next, if the lusts of your flesh are deceitful, you need to study Scripture to be able to recognize it. Because that's the nature of deceit. Well, I'm doing pretty good. You don't see it unless the Word of God reveals it to you and you become convicted of it. That's the washing of the water of the Word. The Word of God is what God uses to alert our minds of the sin and corruption so that we're no longer deceived. And then we can work to put off the old man. Okay, secondly, you need to be renewed in your mind. The first step in the worthy walk is to put off the old man. Secondly, you must be renewed in your mind. Verse 23. and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed means to make new again in quality, not time. The old worn out ways of thinking need to be replaced by fresh biblical ones. The verb here is passive, and that means that someone else is doing the work. The Holy Spirit is the one who renews our mind. We're going to have all kinds of examples on this, like I mentioned from Ephesians 5:26. Christ is... Well, let's look at that while we're talking about it. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. We're supposed to love our wives like Christ loved the church. And Christ loved his church and he sanctifies her, cleansing her by the washing of water with the word. Another example from Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That word in Romans is transformed. The root is metamorphosized. That's what we would say in English. To be changed. You know, the ugly caterpillar goes in one side and is wrapped up in the cocoon. Pretty soon it bursts out a beautiful monarch butterfly. Tadpole, he goes into some kind of a state and comes out a frog. The same term was used to describe the transformation that occurred when Jesus was transfigured and a portion of his divine nature and glory shined through at the transfiguration. Matthew 17:2. Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So all these are passives. God is performing the transformation in us. So I would say we just need to surrender to that and be renewed. And our part of it is to read His Word and let Him wash us clean and let Him use the Word to cleanse us. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, so we put off the old man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Thirdly, we need to put on the new man. Yeah, that's important. I mean, we're talking about the process of repentance. Repentance has not occurred until we get to this stage. You can stop stealing for a time, but then go ahead and start up again. You're still a thief. You don't stop being a thief until you do. Of course, I'm getting ahead. That'll be next week, or maybe 2 weeks from now. But when do you stop being a thief? When you start laboring with your hands and working to give to others. That's the put on part. So this is important. This is the other half of repentance that a lot of times we don't think about. It isn't complete until we're putting on the godly behavior that we're supposed to be doing. The way he talks here, put off, put on, it's kind of like changing your clothes. It's the language that's used here. It's like taking off one set of clothes and putting on a new set. The old man is what you fell in the sewer with, you know. Ugh. Chuck those clothes, get rid of those, and put on new clothes. Hopefully you shower and get renewed in the spirit of your mind first. Okay? The new self is made over in the likeness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. This is a way of thinking throughout the New Testament. The new self is created in true righteousness. Verse 24, put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. True righteousness speaks about the ability to perform our responsibilities toward our fellow man, toward God. So righteousness is a right way of thinking, and that works its way out in our deeds and our actions. True holiness speaks about our function with the right heart and attitude toward God, to be holy. What about our habits? We can't really leave this topic without at least a brief discussion about habits. God created us with a wonderful mechanism that we have, the ability to do things by habit. When you put your shoes and socks on, do you think about it? Well, now let's see. How do I put my sock on? Let's see. I need to take the sock. You don't do that. You put them on. You probably put them on the same way every time. And you don't even think about it. You're thinking about some obscure point of theology or something. And all of a sudden your feet are dressed and you don't even realize how it happened. And some of you do that on your way to work in the morning and you're already at work and you wonder, how did I get here? You've been there? Yeah. I'm not sure if that's a good habit. It'd probably be better if you knew how you got there. But we have those things and you don't think about, you might be able to get into an argument with your wife and drive someplace, and the whole time you're driving and doing all the things and stuff, those are habits. So those are good things in the sense in which they enable us to function in life. You learn something and then you just do it, you know, by rote. The problem is that the old self has lived its life according to fleshly habits. That's bad. It's indulged itself sinfully at a whim. If we follow the lust of our flesh, our habits are vile, and they need to be cut out radically. Of course, all of this is in dependence on the Holy Spirit to change us. But we need to say, I'm not going to do that anymore. And it takes a long time sometimes to get rid of a bad habit. We'll see these as our mind becomes more and more sensitive to Scripture. That practice I'm doing is wrong. This must be an offense to God. This is terrible. I can't do this anymore. That habit must end. Then we need to decide what needs to be in its place. What is the right thing I need to do? What is the habit I need to form and put in its place? And how am I going to... And you need to first learn it and awkwardly do it and start practicing that. The next time this particular sin takes place, I'm going to run to my Bible, I'm going to open it up to this particular passage, and I'm going to start reading it and quoting it to myself. That would be a new habit. That would be a good habit. Next time this happens, I'm going to go to my knees and plead with God for grace to overcome. You know, these are the kinds of things to think about, to have your plan when this sinful lust arises, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut it off and I'm going to go after the new behavior, the godly behavior that I researched in Scripture, and I know what God would want me to do in that case. I'm going to do that. Well, that's what we're going to be studying for the next several weeks in Ephesians chapter 4:25 all the way through 5:21. There's example after example. I'll just give you a brief preview of the first one. Therefore, laying aside falsehood. What's the falsehood? Well, stop lying. What are you supposed to do? Speak truth, each one of you, with your neighbor, for we're members of one another. Be angry, do not sin, do not let the sun go down in your anger, do not give the devil. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need. See, each one of these is to put off and to put on. And we're going to be doing that all the way from chapter 4:25 all the way through 5:21. Serious examples of how to practically do this. And this isn't meant to be an exhaustive list, but it is a practical list to show us how to put these principles and how to do this, how to put off the old man, put on the new. And Paul has given us very practical examples on how to do that. So this is going to be a great text to go through and to remind ourselves of these precious truths. Paul lays out for us in these verses tonight that we've been in the doctrinal truth, and now in the following verses he's going to give us several examples on how to do it. Excuse me. Tonight we looked at three steps. Paul has given us to walk the worthy walk. Three steps Paul's given us to walk the worthy walk. put off the old self with all its bad habits. We need to think about that. We fell in the sewer, and it's time for us to get rid of all the sewer clothing. Be renewed. Be sensitive to things of God in your mind. Pray for Him to work in your heart, to change your heart and to reform your heart and to reshape your thinking. Thirdly, put on the new man, forming godly habits that will reshape your character. Recognize, however long you've been a Christian, we still have bad habits. There's still some of the flesh that remains. This isn't of, well, I got that taken care of. I'm a godly man now. No. We're going to be changing till the day we die. There's no room for just sitting on our laurels and saying, I'm doing all right. It's time for change. Make up your mind. I will not be in submission to this sin any longer. I'm dead to this sin. My Lord Christ has granted that believers are no longer dominated by sin. I can walk away from this. I will set myself to find from His Word what I need to do in place of this sin. And I'm going to learn how to do that instead. Put off, renew, put on. We don't want to be like those slaves I talked about in my introduction that went back to the plantation, and even though they were free, they kept right on in their slaving, you know, their old ways. They didn't know what else to do. They didn't want to look back. Or they went right back, I mean. But our Lord Jesus, He's offered to turn us from sin and to pursue a new life that pleases Him, and we want to do that. We need to be satisfied with absolutely nothing less. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, thank You so much for this time. Thank You for this precious text in Ephesians. I pray, Lord, that we would all take it seriously. And I'm sure the believers here have already done this numerous times, and that's their life's pattern. But Lord, I pray that we would be rededicating ourselves to it, that we would be eager to put off, put on, to be renewed in the spirit of the mind. We look to You, Lord Jesus. We want to live lives pleasing to You. Make us holy and pure like You're holy and pure. Thank You. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.